theoldorchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How was day two in Connecticut?
Off the charts. Really good. It started with Patrick Kane, then it moved on to Marc-Andre Fleury, and eventually ended the day with Sidney Crosby. But in between, just so many. Connor McDavid is just an amazing ambassador for the game. Marc-Andre Fleury, if I'm the Las Vegas Golden Knights, I'm so excited that he's part of my program. I sent a text message, actually, to the president of the Chicago Blackhawks today, John McDonough, just to tell him how great Patrick Kane was this morning. I've never seen the league have so many prominent stars that are so affable, so amazingly positive about the game, and care so much about growing the game. It is a really good time to be part of the NHL.
Well, and I noticed one of the decisions the league made is to try to make sure more people find out more about their players via social media, which includes Twitter. They're encouraging the use of Twitter.
Well, that's okay for them. I'm not going on.
I'm not talking about you. You do your best growing the game, being on 12 radio stations every day and doing what you do during the season. But specifically the players, you know, there's some franchises and even some players firsthand discovered, oh, maybe I ought to back off a little bit because they think they're saying something innocent and innocuous, but it gets misinterpreted. But the league recognizes we're in the era of social media.
And it's a great point, and I totally agree. I'm going to give you an example. I will not tell you the player's name because it's not appropriate to him. We were doing this segment with a bunch of young female hockey players. And at the end of the segment, I asked the player what he thought of the players that he had played against. And he said to me, those guys were really good. Now, bear out, just hang in there. 2 minutes later, everybody's signing autographs and taking pictures. He comes up to me and he goes, I made a big mistake. I go, what do you mean? What do you mean? He goes, I called those young ladies guys. I said, you know what? You're right. So I went to the producer. I said, we got to do this over again. The player was so aware that he had made a mistake, a foible, not a terrible mistake, but a foible, that we redid it again. And I said to the producer, I hope you put this into the show we're doing to show you how aware this young man is of his situation.
Hmm. How many?
It was awesome.
How often do you do a redo like that? Just curious.
That's the first time I could ever tell you that we'd ever do something like that.
Yeah. Now
I've never had to do it. I mean, I do women's water polo and women's hockey at the Olympics, and I've never had to do it. But I can tell you that this player was very culturally aware that instead of calling them guys, he should have called them young ladies or girls, which they were. They're not older people. But probably the appropriate terminology would have been young ladies.
Pierre, I mentioned off the ice very significant news out of Nashville. Ryan Ellis is expected to need 4 to 6 months to recover from knee surgery.
Yep.
Announcement by David Poile today. Said the initial prognosis is 4 to 6 months. Is ligament damage, and I'm convinced. I don't know this for a fact.
Montreal.
Yes,
we
saw that right here. That looked terrible when he went down. I was shocked that he came back so quickly. He played through the final. He was clearly experiencing some health issues, as you know, during the final, and now we know that it was that serious.
And I was telling you about it the entire playoff. You know that I told you that, and I listen, it broke my heart. The guy is an amazing person. If the year that he was drafted, that was when I was in the situation with the general manager's job in Minnesota. And I remember telling Mr. Leopold, there would be two players that I would draft at the position you're in. One would be Nick Leddy, who they took, and the other one would be Ryan Ellis. I said, that's your fallback position. You're taking one or the other, depending on whether one goes before the other one. Then you have to decide which one you like better. Ryan Ellis was such a great World Junior player for Canada, such an amazing Windsor Spitfire guy. He is his heart, soul, character, just a fantastic person, a great teammate. Ask PK Subban, he'll tell you. Ask Roman Josi, he'll tell you. This is major news. Major news.
And of course, talent. He's coming off a career year. He's 26. He'll be out 4 to 6 months. Poile, in talking about it today, said that's one of the reasons they went out and got Alexei Yemelin.
Oh, they knew. And I think I was trying to share it with you without giving too much up last year during the playoffs. It got worse as the playoffs went along, Mitch, and the guy showed so much courage. I remember going to an off-day practice. There weren't a lot of people there, and it was an optional. And Ryan has one thing. He's always tried to be the first player on the ice, and every single day he was. But I noticed when he was making crossovers right over left, he's having a hard time exploding out of those crossovers. So you knew there was an issue. You knew it was a carryover from what happened that night in Montreal.
Now, you know Mike Fisher retires, so they don't have a captain. He's one of the guys who would be a logical replacement. Do you think they go in that direction, or the fact that he won't be around for as long, you know, he's going to miss half the season, is that's a little odd to, or would they just wait?
Roman Josi, and again, probably, remember when Teppo Numminen played in the NHL, Mitch?
Sure, yeah.
Teppo Numminen was probably the most underrated player in the league. If he was playing anywhere else on an elite team, Teppo Numminen would have probably got or merited some serious consideration for the Norris Trophy, but he never got any because nobody knew who he was. Roman Josi's kind of like that, but I think more people now are paying attention to him. I would say Roman Josi's name's got to be in there. I would say, you know, maybe PK's name is going to be in there. It's going to be interesting to watch. I don't know if you heard about it, but last night on ESPN during the tennis, a Roger Federer match with Del Potro,
yeah,
they showed PK Subban coming out of break. It was pretty cool.
And that was quite a reaction in the stands with PK on the screen.
Oh, gigantic reaction. Yeah. Huge.
By the way, last night as well, before that, Gord Miller returned with us. He's with us every Wednesday at 6:05. Gord took a lot of heat last year when he suggested he didn't think initially that PK was among the top 15 defensemen in the NHL.
I think based on what we saw in the playoffs last year from PK, that I would move him up in my ranking. I think PK is certainly, clearly one of the top dozen and top 10 defensemen in the league based on what we saw in the playoffs last year. That was the best I've seen PK Subban play.
All right, at least he's moved off that silly position.
That's why
he had.
He's so great. Listen, everybody's allowed to have an opinion. Gord has very strong opinions, and that's one of the reasons why I consider him one of my best friends.
And that's why he's on with us.
He's not afraid to say stuff.
That's why he's on with us.
Yeah, and he's not. Listen, everybody gets kicked in the teeth that formulates an opinion, but the people kicking people in the teeth, they're formulating an opinion, too. They just don't like it when people kick back.
Well, the thing about PK, and believe me, this is not going to be a PK Weber day by day. We've done that. We've put it behind us. But the fact of the matter is, the Predators went to the Stanley Cup Final. And in PK Subban, and that's why some of us who watched him play every game, we considered him a top 10 defenseman, do consider him a top 10 defenseman, because when the games matter the most, at playoff time, and you've been in the rink for most of them, PK Subban invariably was the Montreal Canadiens' best player in the playoffs.
Yeah, and he knows how to elevate. There's no question. He's got charisma. He's got character. And yeah, he will play through pain. He got hurt in the playoffs, too. He just didn't tell anybody. But he played through a lot of pain in the playoffs as well. I skated with a guy today that I think will be a top 10 player that a lot of people don't have in there right now, Seth Jones. So I'm kind of meandering away from PK and moving a little bit more towards Seth Jones. And I think about, we talked about it the other day with Tampa. I think it was yesterday. Can you imagine the Tampa Bay Lightning if they had, Victor Hedman, if they had Cam Fowler, if they had Seth Jones, and if they had Anton Strahlman, how would that top four be?
But they don't.
But they should have. That's the point.
Yeah, okay. But they got, you know, I think that you think they would have won a cup? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm telling you right now, if they have Cam Fowler and Seth Jones and Victor Hedman and Anton Strahlman, they have a legitimate chance to have had one cup since 2010.
Okay. And if Jonathan Drouin plays a little bit instead of Brendan Morrow, maybe they have a couple. I don't know. It's just, you know.
No. Wait. Whoa. Wait.
What?
Just go easy.
Well, no.
I'm a big John. I like Jonathan Drouin, too.
Yeah, Brendan Morrow, but, Pierre. Again, I don't want to.
I know where you're
watch
going.
Watch the what was the margin? What was the margin of victory? You don't know. We don't know, but we could speculate. That's what we do. We speculate, right? We don't know what
Chicago. Do you think Chicago Blackhawks are a good team?
I think Chicago wins the cup regardless, but I think Tampa.
Okay,
I think Tampa would have been in a better position to steal it away if Drouin.
More than fair to say that.
Brendan Morrow.
No, you're right on. Okay. More than fair to say that. I agree.
Patrick Marleau in Toronto. Is he going to play with Austin Matthews?
That's who I would play him with. I said that today on Toronto radio with Michael Landsberg and David Naylor. I that's who I would start him with. And the reason why is Patrick, all the years he played with Joe Thornton, and they played a lot of years together. In fact, one of the years they played together, Joe was the MVP of the league in 2006. But when they played together, Patrick was the defensive conscience of that line, and he made Joe better. And eventually they went on to have a great gold medal winning tournament with the Olympics in 2010, and Patty kept playing. Patrick hasn't lost his motor. I talked to Martin Jones about it yesterday. They know in San Jose how good Patrick is. Even though he's 37, he can still play. He can still play, and they know that. So this is, you know, I personally think Mike Babcock, who coached him in two Olympics, knows him really well and knows him from the Western Hockey League. So I would be surprised if Patrick didn't start the year with Austin Matthews.
And a late signing. There are a couple of notable UFAs who still are looking for work. But Thomas Vanek ended up signing with the Canucks. Pierre, do you see Vanek moving in alongside the Sedins?
That depends on what they want to do with the. See, they're going through a total rebuild. They just don't want to say that. And I understand. Listen, Jim Benning is a really good evaluator of talent, I should say. He inherited a mess. You talk about it. I mean, he inherited a mess.
So why sign Vanek, though? Because
you're trying to make sure that the marketplace doesn't get down on your program. You want still to have an exciting brand of hockey. And I think Thomas maybe can do that. I mean, it's just the one thing I would tell you, they do have some young players now filtering through their organization. I spent a little bit of time with Christopher Tanev yesterday, who's a defenseman for them. He's another one of those underappreciated guys. He's a good player. But Bo Horvat's got a chance to grab that team by the neck. Brock Besser, I think, has a chance to grab that team by the neck. They got some guys that are pretty good. They're not ready to be first-line guys. That's all I'm saying. So maybe you put Vanek there as a little bit of a stopgap. It's only a one-year deal. I don't think it's a bank breaker. So I don't have a problem with that.
With Pierre McGuire back with us this week, every day after 5:05, Pierre LeBrun coming up, Answers from Space with Bill Lee as well on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Rod?
So, Pierre, you've told us many times how important it is, and it sounds basic, but it's a critical point, that a coaching staff has to know his own team better than anyone else. So, that said, Claude Julien has a couple months of February, March, into mid-April, the end of last year. Now he's got a full offseason and a full training camp. What are some of the tendencies or some of the things he can pick up on knowing his team with all this time?
What a good question. I would say the number one thing he needs to do is he better know whether Charles Hudon can play for his team or not. He better know that one way or the other, and the type of role he's going to create for the player. It can be argued he was probably their best player in the American Hockey League last year, and that's an important thing. You got to have guys filtering through your system. So that's an important one. He better know that guy inside out. That's number one. He better find a way to get Jeff Petrie to go to another level. He needs Petrie to be back to where he was 2 years ago and play with the same consistency that he played with 2 years ago, not what he did last year. He was very inconsistent. There are a couple guys he needs to really make sure. Galchenyuk's another one. They better make sure they got these guys right on track when the season starts.
Yeah, Galchenyuk again. It's like who. Where is he going to be when we... Gallo, come on. It's not our question of the day, our Morelos question of the day, but where's Gal when the season starts? Galchenyuk, where is he?
He's going to be on left wing.
What?
Well, give me the four centers of the Canadiens.
I'm going to get... My four centers are Galchenyuk, Drouin, Danault, Plekanec. Those are my four centers.
Gallo, your four centers.
Is it what I would do or what I think is going to happen? Because those are two different questions.
No, what do you think is going to happen?
Okay. Drouin, Plekanec, Danault, and Torrey Mitchell.
Rod? Okay. Rod, you may as well jump in on this.
Rod, jump in.
Yeah, and I'm with Gallo on this. Danault, Plekanec, in no particular order, Danault, Plekanec, Drouin, and Torrey.
So my question to you guys is, how many years does Torrey have left in the league?
Well, it's the last year of his contract.
I'm asking you the question, and you know that I'm a huge... He's a friend of mine, a very good friend, somebody I respect tremendously. And his father, I respect him tremendously. The family's awesome.
I think he's in a battle. I think he's in a battle in training camp. Yep.
He's in a battle to make the team if they're really being forthright. Come on.
Thing is, if Torrey Mitchell doesn't make the team... I think it's going to be McCarron in that center spot.
Why would you do that?
I got McCarron. I told you what my fourth line is. It's Plekanec, McCarron, and Hudon. That's my fourth line if the season started today.
McCarron's got to be in the wing. I'm with Mitch Melnyk on this. Why wouldn't you want the big board presence to dominate? At least you're going to make some of your smaller players down the middle look big.
I just, you know, unless, you know, and we get back to the whole salary cap issue and that big... That big bag that's empty of money, right?
Well, who do you want? You got to tell me who you want, and I'll tell you if it's worth the money.
Well, we discussed him yesterday, whether it's John Tavares or, again, we discussed this. Dan Robertson was in after 4 o'clock. I don't put a whole lot of, unless it's a three-way trade, I don't get how they get Matt Duchene. Because the Colorado needs help on the blue line. The Canadiens already traded their chip. They don't have anybody.
So did the Islanders. By the way, the Islanders traded Travis Hamonic. So you're bang on. And the Canadiens' chip in the game is gone in terms of Duchene, I think. So go ahead.
No, so that's, I don't know any other centers who might be available. And that's why, because of that, and because he has played considerable amount of time at center compared to Jonathan Drouin, and he's produced offensively, although not consistently, I would stick with Galchenyuk. But apparently they're not going to do that. So,
well,
Go
back to the general manager's first ever first-round pick as a general manager of the Canadiens. Who did he take?
Yeah, we'll find out how this plays out. So, again.
Who did he take?
Pierre, let's assume Alex Galchenyuk. Alex Galchenyuk was selected.
Galchenyuk, thank you. Do you think they took him to play wing or center?
No, we've been through this. We know that. You're preaching to the choir here.
But
right?
You have new listeners, so you have to educate them.
Alex Hemsky was signed by the Montreal Canadiens. If he is healthy, okay, that's a big if. If he's healthy, he's not playing on the what is he? He's not a fourth-line guy.
Alex Hemsky's never scored more than 23 goals in any one NHL season. He's a playmaker. The one thing I would say is Claude Julien would know him. And how would he know him? Because Claude coached in Hull, the Gatineau Olympic, or the Hull Olympic in those days, a year before Hemsky got there. And also, he was in the Edmonton Oilers organization when Edmonton had Hamilton. And so he would know him because Edmonton took him in the first round. So that would be going a long way back in history, but that's how he would know him. And Alex Hemsky in 2005 was the MVP of the Czech Extraliga, which was a great league because that was a lockout year. And Pardubice won the national championship. He was a big part of that. Go look at his neck when you see him at training camp. He got stabbed in the neck after they won. He almost died. Somebody stabbed him in a situation in a bar. He almost died. The guys, I have so much respect and time for him. I like Alex so much. I've known him a long time. He's a tremendous player, but Father Time's caught up. He's not the point producer you thought he would have been or could have been or was even. So it's going to take some time for him to find his way with the Canadiens. I would say he makes their roster. I just don't know what role they create for him.
And Pierre, one more for you, just because it's kind of fresh coming across the wire right now. Cody Franson has signed a PTO with the Blackhawks, and there was a connection with the Canadiens at one time with Cody Franson, and I'm just wondering why the last couple times he's become a free agent.
Well, the connection was that Josh Georges was traded for him, but Georges refused to go to Toronto.
Exactly, so Mark Bergevin clearly liked him at one point. I'm just wondering, like, the last two times he's hit free agency, it's been August and September when he's found a home.
I think because there's a lot of defensive liabilities there. He's a one-trick pony in a lot of ways. And it's a little bit like somebody that you guys signed in Montreal, Eric Gelina. Eric Gelina can shoot the puck. He can bring heat from the back end, and he's a really good athlete. He is a tremendous athlete. But, you know, it's the same with Cody Franson. There are holes there defensively that teams expected those holes to have been plugged by now, but they haven't been.
By the way, Tony Marinaro, of course, is listening. The Friday scrum reconvenes tomorrow for the first time. Melnick, Marinaro, Knuckles, Campbell, Francis, Gallo, we're all here between 12 and 1, replayed between 6 and 7. He was listening to our conversation about fourth-line centers. He just wanted me to let you know that his fourth-line center is Jacob De La Rose.
That's who I thought Las Vegas would take. Tony and I see it a lot the same. I'm a huge fan of De La Rose. I think if he's playing as a depth position type center iceman, he's very, very useful. I think Mark Bergevin knows that too. And he's more like the type of center iceman that Claude Julien likes. So we agree. And good on Tony. Tony, great to hear from you.
Yeah. Tony was at Arcade Fire last night. How about that?
Did he even know any of the songs?
No.